Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to the Grove Podcast. Well, summer is in full swing, and we are definitely excited about that. But this also means we're wrapping up our first season of the podcast with today's episode, and then taking a break for the rest of the summer. We hope this gives you a chance to catch up on any episodes you missed, as we're planning and prepping for season two of the Grove Podcast, launching in September. But before we take a break, we want to let you in on a super fun opportunity to partner with us this summer. We're calling it the Grove Friendcast, and we need your help and your voice. We believe everyone has a story to tell, and so much of our story is impacted and shaped by the friendships we've been given. The Friendcast is a way for you and your friends to share these stories with us in mini podcast episodes. That's right, we want you to record a podcast episode and send it to us. We'll compile some of our favorites at the end of the summer and then feature them on the Grove Podcast next season. All you need to do is grab a girlfriend or two or someone who inspires you and record a 5 to 10 minute podcast on any voice recording device, even your phone. We'd love to hear how Jesus is using your relationships to help you flourish, how you give shade to people in your path, or how you've been set free. Check out passioncitychurch.com/thegrove for more details and how to submit your episode there. And to help us launch into our summer of the Friendcast, today's episode is just that. It's a truly remarkable Jesus story shown through the gift of some unlikely friendships. Shelley Giglio sits down with some of her dearest friends, Courtney Prey Duke, Angela Richardson, and Carrie Stanfill, as they recount the days surrounding the death of Courtney's husband, Andrew Prey, and how they found each other through that journey. They unpack what it looks like to unexpectedly walk alongside someone through their deepest imaginable tragedy, even though seemingly unprepared, and the undeniable voice of the Holy Spirit, and how Jesus gave each of them the ability to love and support in their own unique ways. They share what it is to be truly called into relationship with one another in the hills and the valleys, and then they celebrate the redemption that they've all seen Jesus bring. You'll definitely want to make sure to listen to the end of this episode, and we're confident that it will bring you life today. So here's Shelley, Angela, Courtney, and Carrie for the Grove Friendcast.
Awesome. Welcome to the Grove Podcast. This is Shelley Giglio, and I am here with three of my incredible friends, and we are recording today for a little thing that we're calling Friendcast, which is amazing. We've basically welcomed everybody to the idea that everyone can record a podcast, especially all of us that are Grove girls, and we can send it in to us, and we're going to listen to all of those and decide which ones that we can actually post into a podcast on the Grove Podcast. So this is an official thing, but I thought the best way to kind of show people a little bit about how that feels is just to gather with some of my friends today. So I want you to introduce you to three of my really great friends who are sitting on the sofas with me, just like we sit in life a lot. So this is Carrie Stanfill. Carrie, say hello.
Hey, everybody.
And this is Angela Richardson.
Hi.
And Courtney Duke.
Hey.
So here we all are together, and we have the most amazing friendship. And what I love about it is that Scripture says in Proverbs 17:17, it says, "A friend loves all the time, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." And I like to include sister in there because it includes us. But it's amazing how friendship can take some interesting turns. And sometimes you can just be in a lighthearted, fun relationship with people, and sometimes you can be in a rather intense one. And we have the joy of being able to do both. So I thought today it would be awesome for us just to talk a little bit about times of great and plenty and abundance, and also times of lack. Mm-hmm. Where we were basically looking at each other thinking, will God be enough for us in this moment? And it kind of all started a little bit around Courtney, which I love. Some of you who've been following along with us for a long time know bits and pieces of Courtney's story. But Courtney, it would be awesome if you just shared a little bit about just the moment that you sort of figured out how much you needed friendship.
Yeah, of course. Well, I was 29 years old and had been married to my high school sweetheart for about 10 and a half years when the day before Thanksgiving in 2013, I got a phone call that changed the trajectory of my life. I was at home with the kids, and my husband went on a bike ride. He was a worship pastor, but on the side, he was a cyclist, an avid cyclist. And he was just doing his his normal route, a 75-mile loop or something, which I can't imagine that, but I guess it was easy for him, and he was just, it was just routine. And so he left that day, and I got a phone call while he was gone saying, a doctor at the hospital was saying, you need to get to the hospital immediately. Your husband's been in a severe accident and you need to get here. And so, as you can imagine, complete fear and heartache and turmoil. I mean, I couldn't even think straight. I could hardly breathe. As I loaded my three kids in the car, at the time they were 8, 6, and 2. And I sped to the hospital just praying, God, would you please just save him, keep him alive, like just keep him alive, and crying out to God to save his life and keep him here. I later, a few minutes down the road, I got another phone call saying that he didn't make it. And there I was standing in my greatest fear and my worst nightmare, in just the middle of a million broken pieces. So in that moment, we didn't have family around at the time, and I called on my friend Angela, who I knew was home that day, because again, it was the day before Thanksgiving. We had plans to go to the Richardson's house the next day for Thanksgiving lunch, and I called her and I said, Angela, you have to get to the hospital, like get there right now, like where, and I told her what happened, and she said, I'll be right there. So Angela and her husband, Paul, were the first ones to show up there in the trauma unit that day as, I mean, all of it, it was such a surreal moment. And Angela just came and stood by my side and has been by my side ever since.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Angela, you were, I guess, home that day. You said you were preparing for Thanksgiving meal the next day. And you were telling me earlier that you already had your table set. And that set at your table were name tags. And then on those name places, there was one for Andrew as well.
Yeah. So my family was coming in from out of town. My mom and dad were headed down from Virginia. And I was so excited for them to meet this family. It was so cool that we had these friends that we were working with together. We were on staff together. And it is kind of rare to have a couple friendship where the wives are best friends and the husbands are also best friends. Yeah. And so we were just thrilled that we were going to get a chance to spend Thanksgiving, like a true Friendsgiving. But yeah, my parents were on their way down and we were getting everything ready. And Courtney and I had been talking about our Thanksgiving menu. And we were looking for, I remember we were looking specifically for a broccoli salad recipe. And I thought that's what she was calling me for. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to call me to tell me she found it. And we have this kind of fun thing that we did in our friendship where whenever we answer the phone, we would always answer the phone kind of singing. And we would say, hello.
I love it.
And so I answered the phone like that. And I knew in an instant that everything was different. And we left our house immediately. Our neighbors called us later and said we had left the front door, the garage, everything was wide open. We put the kids in the car and we drove separately. Somehow God just told us, like, you're going to need both of your cars today. He really did guide us through that day, even though we were clueless and never, ever navigated anything like this before. But I'll never forget the moment that I saw Courtney in that little tiniest room at the hospital. And there were, I don't know if it was sheriffs or police officers that were coming in and out, just going over details. And I just remember giving her a hug. And in that moment, I felt God tell me, not only did Courtney call you to this, but I'm calling you to this. Mm-hmm. And that terrified me, because up until that point, Courtney and I had so many things that we had in common. And, you know, there's such a powerful thing about, we all talk about in friendships, how you, when you say me too, mm-hmm. to someone, how powerful that is, and that connection and that bond. And you're able to be like, you know what, I've been through that too. And you can help each other. But this was a moment that I could not say that. Mm-hmm. And So I just begged God, you know, I'm not enough. I've never navigated this before, but I'm relying on you. You are enough, and I'm relying on you. I'm willing. I don't know what this is going to look like, but that did start our journey of the next few years of walking really, really closely through my best friend through that time. And so.
It's amazing. It's amazing that that I think God was preparing you all along. Mm-hmm. And even as you're just talking about, you know, God calling you in that moment, that it was more significant than you're the person standing here, or it just so happened that you got the phone call. It was more significant than that. I think in your life, I know in Courtney's life, looking back on it, it's obviously true that God had chosen you to be standing in that yeah. moment. And he had equipped you in ways that you weren't even aware of, mm-hmm. things that you needed to know, things, ways that you needed to be in life mm-hmm. when you had no idea that you would even need those skills. And that yet there you stood standing in a hospital with her as really the only one at that point in the story mm-hmm. who was close enough to be the kind of confidant that she needed. Yeah. And I can see it, how God prepared you. And I think even now with retrospect, it's easier for you to see that God was preparing. But talk about the preparation in life for moments that we don't expect. And all of y'all can talk about this because I feel like, you know, we go through life and we're pretty easygoing about life. It all kind of just rolls. Days go into weeks, go into months. But man, there's a cataclysmic moment in all of our lives. Either we've had it, we're in it right now, or we're going to have it in the future, where there is a moment and everything seems to drop out.
Yeah.
And we need to know that God has prepared us and that we're standing in on truth and that we have a way to see beyond the circumstance. And what are some of the things God did to prepare you to stand in that moment, Angela?
Well, I mean, for sure, it would be walking closely with God. And, you know, I've been a pastor's wife for 21 years, and I learned early on that I kind of piggybacked my spirituality off of my husband because he was the pastor, and I almost made him responsible for my mm-hmm. spiritual walk with mm-hmm. God. And through life and through being in ministry and different circumstances that would come up, I really felt convicted that this needs to be your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And this situation, this tragedy, when this happened, this was something that I had to be the one to be there to help Courtney, and Paul could not be there. You know, mm-hmm. Paul could not be the one to walk through that with her so closely. But, you know, I also think that in just friendship in general, I think it's so important to know that even though, you know, in marriage, we have these covenants and we make these vows and we say these promises to each other, and those are like bonded by God and they're unbreakable. But friendship can be tricky, and friendship is something that it's almost like it's easier to walk away from because you get into some shaky waters, or you come upon a circumstance you've never been in before and you think, this is just too much. I can't handle it. But God's enough.
Yeah.
And God gives you what you need to walk through that. And so I think just being willing mm-hmm. and saying, okay, I'm not responsible for pulling Courtney out of this pit. God is, but I'm responsible to steward this friendship well.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
so,
That's amazing. And even just from your perspective, Courtney, to have a friend like Angela, who when your family wasn't close and there was nobody standing in Atlanta with you, to know that you had somebody that was like family to you in those moments.
Yeah.
And Paul and Angela have been like that for years before, or at least the last few years leading up to.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it, but you know, you Angela, stood with a best friend who lost her husband, but you also stood with your husband mm-hmm. who lost his best friend.
Yeah.
And so you were grieving on lots of different fronts and holding down a lot of people's emotions and hearts in your hand mm-hmm. and trying to guide people through what it looks like to be in that kind of mm-hmm. grief.
Mm-hmm.
And just amazing to have somebody like that in your life, isn't it, Courtney?
Yeah, I mean, there's not even enough words you don't ever know what you're going to need in life. You don't know what circumstances that you're going to be walking in. And the beauty of having friendships that are anchored in Jesus mm-hmm. before the tragedy comes yeah. and before yeah, that's so good. The hardship comes mm-hmm. is so, it's so necessary. Mm-hmm. And how kind of God to give me a sweet friend here in Georgia that I could call on in literally my darkest hour.
Yeah.
And so, yes, loving is a risk. You know, you take a risk when you love, but it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
And
what a huge payoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, just amazing. Yeah. Angela, you mentioned, and I want to introduce Carrie into the story in a second too, but you mentioned that you took your own car to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of you driving back into you guys' neighborhood from being at the hospital that day. And you were driving into a sunset. Yeah. And that sunset became such a significant picture mm-hmm. of promise yeah. of that. That God is faithful when the yes. sun comes up and he's faithful when the sun goes down.
Yes. Yeah.
And that picture is emblazoned in my brain and in my heart. And it was a moment, and it was a moment for you guys to know that God was with you. Yeah. And it was a moment for all of us to know that God had a beautiful plan for what was to yeah. come.
Yeah. I think I remember that drive so vividly. I think there's moments that Courtney and I will reminisce about that were a blur to her. But that was really tough. And we pulled into that neighborhood, which Paul and I and our family did not live there at the time. We've since moved into that neighborhood. And every single time I drive down that same road at sunset, I am reminded of God's faithfulness.
Stunning.
Beautiful. And I am reminded of Andrew, and I am reminded of that loss, but I'm also reminded of how much he has given tenfold, a thousand yes. times fold. And yeah, what a picture. I will never, ever forget that.
Yeah, I love that. So a few weeks later, Carrie, you did something that was a little bit crazy in the story. And I mean, it seems normal now, and it seems like it's such a vital part of how we even know each other. Right. But Carrie and I have been friends for a long, long time. I didn't know Angela at this point, but Carrie and I have known each other for years. And Carrie just reached out to Courtney in a very significant way. So talk about what you did in those moments and what made you do something like this.
Yeah, so I was like a lot of people probably who just was watching the news or I saw on Twitter. I honestly don't remember because I think I saw it in the paper and via Twitter about what happened with Andrew and his yeah. accident. And I just remember seeing this picture of Courtney and Andrew, and she's wearing a purple dress, and their kids are all dressed up and they're standing in front of them. And I saw this picture with the story of Andrew's accident. And it said in there that he was a worship pastor and they had three kids. And I was just looking at her and I just was like, I cannot imagine what she's walking through. Like I was the wife of a worship pastor. I am the wife of a worship pastor. And at the time I had three kids and I just so immediately connected with her story.
Yeah.
And I immediately felt God just impressed on my heart to pray for her. And I did. I mean, as soon that day, like I would pray for her in my car. I told my kids about her. My kids and I prayed for her.
Love that.
And their kids, we knew their names. And it was one of those things where I almost started feeling like, oh gosh, like, is this like, you know, what is this? I remember standing in the kitchen with Christian and saying like, we need to do something. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why or what, but like, I have to do something. And, you know, like, we all have moments where we see a story or we connect or we see a story and we're sad or we're grieved for people. But there was something, and I know that it was the Holy Spirit yeah. truly prompting mm-hmm. me to do something.
Yeah.
And I really wrestled with what to do and how to do it and if I should. And I just, a couple weeks went by and eventually, I had gotten Courtney's email from a friend of a friend who used to work with Andrew, and I was like, I'm just going to email her. And we had Passion 2013 coming up,
yeah.
and you know, I just kind of emailed her and said, hey, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you and your family. I really don't have words, but I just know that my heart is broken for you. And I don't have a lot to offer, but I just wanted to see if maybe you would want to come to Passion Conference. Maybe you could be encouraged, just get loved on. And I'd love to meet you and host you. Mm. And I was shocked when she emailed me back like the next day. Cause you know, you put that out there and I'm like, she's going to eat, you know, and it had been public and she had a lot of people.
I'm sure reaching out.
And especially I'm this way. I'm like, I don't want to bother them. And like, I don't want to be that other person that's like another email in their inbox or another text or whatever. And, so I just hit send and she emailed me back and she said, thank you so much. And I would love to come.
I love that. I love that, that you took a risk and that, just thinking back through those moments, I think about all the moments now that we have together and how that really wouldn't have happened. If I think Angela and Courtney would have been friends forever, for sure. Whether we would have been in that story or not, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And the very first time I ever met Courtney, she had actually come to Passion 2013, and it was at the Georgia Dome, which no longer exists. Right. And it was a big moment for Passion. Mm-hmm. We were almost 20 years in, or actually it was our 20th year, I think, of doing events. Mm-hmm. And God had been very faithful to us, but never a more beautiful picture of his faithfulness than the ending night, I think it was, or the night before the end of Passion that year. We ended in a dance party. I don't remember that much about it, but I just remember that people were going pretty much nuts. And, you know, 18 to 25-year-olds have a whole different level of nuts, which is beautiful. And all of us were on the floor together of the stadium, and we were dancing. And when I looked over, Carrie, you had brought Courtney down. And Courtney had been up in the guest seating, and she had been there the whole time. It was also the year that Louie talked about dry bones and how those bones were actually given life back from God, and how dead places would come to life again because of the power, spirit, and wind of God. Yeah. And I'll never forget the talk, and I'll never forget the moment, but the most profound part of it was looking over on that dance floor and maybe for the very first time yelling over the band that was playing, introducing myself to Courtney, and then dancing together. And it was like we were dancing on the grief. The grief was so present, so real among us. It was so tangible at that point. You weren't very far from Andrew's death. And yet there was so much hope in all of us that we weren't going to stay in that place forever.
Yeah. Yeah, we were fighting for it in that moment, fighting for joy, fighting to live life. Again, to breathe again, to see life in color again. And what a remarkable, I mean, you talk about turning mourning. Jesus turns mourning into dancing. You know, I feel like we were standing in that. I was starting to believe that that's possible. You know, I'd heard that all my life and read it all my life and believed it for other people. But I think in that moment, it was like, I'm going to believe this for myself.
So beautiful.
Like, this is really possible. Mm-hmm. And so out of Carrie's complete and utter generosity, reaching out to me and going to Passion 2013, you know, getting up when I didn't feel like getting up, putting on real clothes and putting on makeup and like, okay, like, I'm going to live. I'm choosing to continue to put one foot in front of the other. Going, meeting Shelley. And I'm just like, I literally cannot believe how good God has been when we look back on that. But it's as if that I knew that I'd known you all forever.
Yeah, it felt that way.
It was like a knitting of our hearts that only God can do. And heartache might have brought us together, but God's goodness and his faithfulness is what has kept us together.
Well, and I just have to say, from the moment I met Courtney, there really was that connection. It was like it really did feel like almost holy, like God had brought us together. And I just, there was just this bonding. And then even meeting Angela. Even meeting Angela, she immediately just felt like a kindred spirit. So amazing. And her laugh and her smile is so contagious. And you could feel the weight on both of them, like the weight of what they'd been walking through. But at the same time, I mean, again, like it all feels so like surreal, like talking about it, because I remember going back to the hotel and telling Christian, like, I cannot believe this girl. First of all, it feels like I've known her forever. But second of all, like, she's already saying how good God is. Like, she was already like proclaiming the goodness of God in the middle of her grief. And if you know Courtney, you know that's true. But you know, I'll get mentioned about, like, you know, bringing Courtney into this little family that we have here at Passion City, or connecting some, building some bridges. But I have been such a recipient of, from Courtney, and, you know, in those moments of grief, you give a lot, you know, like Angela, Shelley, and I, like, we did, we served Courtney in that season, and her kids and her family in a lot of ways. We filled in a lot of gaps and holes. But what she personally gave me was this gift of seeing what I had always read my whole life and seen, and saying, like, oh no, this is real and it's tangible.
That's right.
And I'm watching someone walk through their darkest hour and still seeing the goodness of God. And so it was like a gift in my own life to say, like, oh my gosh, like, this is so real and feels so close. And the way that God was speaking in that season of through scripture, and able for us to connect, all four of us. But like when I would talk to Courtney, and the way that she would even speak life into me through the word of God, because she was so intimately walking with Jesus in that season, it just brought my faith to new heights that I will never go back from. And just to think how amazing friendship is that way, that we can all, you know, really sharpen each other, even in the midst of our hard times. And we've had plenty of really good times. So, like, it's not all.
Like when we first met Angela and went to New York together, the four of us. First trip we ever took together, which was just not that long after Andrew was gone. And we were just looking for a way to celebrate. We were trying to remember him well, and to give honor to his life so well, but to also show him, I think, that you were going to live, that you had chosen to live. And I think Andrew would be so proud of the way that you've lived. And we were taking our first step toward just sealing that up. And we went to New York together, and we were just laughing earlier about Angela, because I hadn't been around Angela a ton. I mean, we had been around each other some, but not certainly on a trip. And here we were in two hotel rooms. I remember you curling my hair for the first time a certain certain way. And it's probably all the ways that everybody wants to know right now. How do you do your hair? Angela taught me. And
this is true.
And then, you know, we came back from dinner one night, and you had bought new shoes, which is the funniest thing ever.
Well, I knew you guys were instant friends. It was the first time that we had spent a lot of concentrated time together. And we're going on this trip, and before we left, I was like, gosh, we're going to New York City. Like, I want to look like New York City. So I went shopping, and
this is the best part of the story.
I was like, you know, New York City, it seems like people walk a lot in New York City on the streets. And so I want to be comfortable, but I also want to be fashionable. So I found these Dr. Scholl's
heels.
Like, not a high heel, but kind of a high heel.
Dr. Scholl's.
Shout out Dr. Scholl's.
Come on.
And listen, don't knock them. They have shoes. You'd be so fooled. They look like a normal, like, high-end fashion shoe from the outside. But I thought, hey, these are going to be so comfortable. So, and we did. We walked all over the place.
Yes, we did.
We had to go to the drugstore for a couple of things, I remember. And we're just walking and walking. And the more we're walking, I'm like, man, my feet are really killing me. And then I thought,
these,
you know,
Dr. Scholl's aren't working at all.
I'm feeling like my feet are even bleeding. It was so bad. And we're all supposed to be having, like, wonderful conversation. Everybody's laughing. And I, at this point, I'm not an active listener anymore. I'm just thinking about the fact that my feet are so bad.
Bleeding.
And I looked over, Shelley and I were walking side by side, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry if I seem a little off, but my feet are killing me so bad. Like, I think they're bleeding. And she looked down at me, and she goes, just take them off. So
we were in the middle of Times Square, by the way.
Middle of Times Square. And I'm like, if Shelley
could, what could possibly get on your feet?
My shoes off. I'm taking my shoes off. And I did, and I held them, and my feet, I mean, I felt glorious when I took those shoes off.
It's the happiest moment ever.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Listen, who cares if you get some stuff on your feet? You're fine. Right. No, nothing can attach to you, Angela.
Yeah.
I love it. I think about all the trips we've had since then and the places we've been able to go together. I was thinking the other day, just we took a trip to be a part of Propel together. Yeah. We went to Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. And that's the moment I'll never forget. We were driving back to the airport. Do you guys remember this moment?
Yeah.
We were driving back to the airport together in an Uber. And our driver, we had waited on him for a while, if I remember. He was either late or something was not right. And so we finally got in the car. The guy was not super talkative. He was pretty quiet. I was in the front seat because there were so many of us, and the three of you were in the back. And I can just remember on that trip suggesting for the first time that we read scripture together in the way of a soap. And we were trying to figure out just how to keep the commonality of friendship, but based in truth, right? Yeah. And not just get to where we were just friends and loved being together, but we actually had some point of reference in our life, which was the truth that we were all around at the same time together. Yeah. And I don't know if people are familiar with soaps, but basically it's just you read a chapter of scripture every day and you kind of take it consecutively so you always know where you are. And then you text back and forth, and the things that you're texting back and forth to each other is just the observation from the scripture, an application from that scripture. So maybe one thing that really stood out to you that you could apply to your life today. And then a prayer, God help us be this in us, make this come alive in us or whatever. So we started doing that on that trip, and we did it for such a long time together. And it was so powerful to just be in the word together in those moments.
I think we read through the entire New Testament after that, too.
We did. Yeah, we did. And the best part of the whole thing was that the driver was listening the whole time we were having this conversation. And we got to the airport, and he dropped us off, and he said something to the effect of, I don't know you, but I like you. Yeah. And I like that you people seem committed to each other in a deeper way. And it was one of those moments that I think we recognized just from an outsider's point of view, that there was something unique going on and that God was a big piece of that. And I don't know whether the guy believed or not, but I think he recognized the uniqueness of our friendship and the characteristic of God in it. And it was a really powerful moment for us.
Yeah, I love how the word of God has bonded us, and it's really held us together, because there have been some thick, hard times, and there have been some joyful, hilarious times, lighthearted.
Yeah.
And in all of that, and in all of the changing of the seasons, at this point, we had already been tracking for about 5-6 years together. And, you know, as you can imagine, the grief ebbing and flowing through all of the joy and all of the changes, there were a lot of life changes. But this one thing that we decided in the car that day was to just like, let's read the word together. And it has literally like bonded us and Jesus has like spoken to each one of us so uniquely and knitted our hearts together even more through the power of his word and through the truth, you know, like reminding us that he doesn't waste anything. And he orchestrates people in your life on purpose for a purpose. And it's just been so beautiful to
I love it
together.
Too. And I think sometimes even when my faith is waning or I need God to increase my faith in a certain area, I can just read up our text stream. And it's so powerful because you're not just reading what God's spoken to you, but you're seeing how significantly he's speaking and moving in other people's lives.
Powerful.
And how powerful then it becomes back to your own life. And there's nothing like accountability of waking up to somebody's scripture reading in the morning. You know, I tell people this all the time, but that's the season of time that I learned at night to close all the apps on my phone. And I would basically take my phone, the last thing I did before I went to sleep at night, and would close every app on my phone but the Bible app. And because my character is to pick up my phone first, I thought, well, if I am going to do that, then I'm going to make sure that what I pick up is the Word of God. And that before anybody else's truth, news, information, thoughts about anything, Twitter is going to speak over my life, I'm going to let God speak over my life first. And that's game changer for all of us. And I think in that season, it definitely changed our friendship too.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I think about some of the really honest conversations that we've had too. And no friendship, no relationship is going to be free of conflict or hard times or, you know, just those hard conversations that you have to have. And one of the things that I'm a firm believer that honesty refines friendship. And, you know, those conversations can be hard, but they can also be so healing. And that's one of the things that I've been so grateful for. You know, shortly after Andrew passed away, Courtney moved to the city.
Right.
And I was so sad about that. I felt like, oh no, now I'm going to lose my friend. You know, she's moving to the city, and how am I going to be able to take care of her all the way from Dallas to Atlanta? And little did I know that I would gain more friends, you know, that I would gain all of that. But it opened up some really honest dialogue for Courtney and I, for me to say, like, okay, what does this look like? You know, I need to let go of you. I need to let you make new friends. And it's hard for me. Yeah. It's hard for me to not want to just hold you so close and say, no, she's mine, you know. But the generosity that I saw, kind of like Carrie was talking about earlier, the generosity of just life that I saw in the two of you, Shelley and Carrie, how you were like, this is our life and you're welcome to. I can't think of a bigger definition of generosity. People can be generous with their finances and their things, but to say, this is my life and these are my friends and you're welcome to it, arms open wide, like this is what we are including you into. And I saw that, and it was an example to me. Mm-hmm. And then what a blessing that you welcomed me into it as well. And so
it's funny that you say that, because when I was thinking about us meeting today, I was actually thinking about how generous you have been. Mm-hmm. Like that there could have been a point in our friendship or in the story where you did hold on to Courtney and her family, and to like being like, no, she's mine to take care of, or she's mine to steward. But instead you did open up your hands and your life. And really, it's been amazing to see, and you said this at some point, just like how it's been amazing to watch the way that God has taken all of our friendships, and like we each have a different facet.
Yeah.
But really, it does create a beautiful diamond that shines and brings glory to God. But if any one of us tried to hold on and or to any friendship, you know, you go whenever you start to clench your fists,
that's right,
and say like, hey, no, this is mine,
that's right,
and I'm gonna be your person, and you're my person.
Yeah,
it's like no, like the letting go and the opening is amazing to see what God brings into our lives.
That's right.
When we're open handed, even with the things that are the dearest to us, you know, even with the things that we feel like, you know, this is so precious, which this was. It was such a tender time and such a deep bond of grief and life that you guys shared before Shelley and I really entered the picture, and the way that you opened up was so generous.
Yeah.
And
I agree with
and
that.
And let us into the story with you guys. It was amazing.
And it doesn't mean it was easy. I can remember Angela and I talking on the phone a lot during that season of just the distance between she and Courtney and how hard that was for her, or not knowing exactly what was going on and trying to figure out where her place was in that. And so it didn't mean it was easy to do, but it means that it was good to do.
Yes.
And that, I think sometimes we confuse the two.
Totally.
We think if it's not easy, it must not be good. But in turn, it actually can be very, very difficult to release your hands from something that you feel like even God's asked you to steward. That very first conversation, you said he called you to this, which is beautiful. So he had no less called you than in the moment where you still had to release Courtney and say, you can go, and I want you to go, not just go in spite of me, but go with me behind you. Go with the power of me at your back, like saying, go for it. This is going to be such a good move for you. This is going to be a new season for you. And it turns out it was a beautiful new season for Courtney. And Courtney can only tell it best, but you know, she's remarried. She has John in her life, and he's a gift from God to her life. She has a baby, Asher, in her life that, you know, has joined these precious kids that she already had. And it's just been beautiful. And so much of that came from a generous heart, a generous heart of God. Who says, there is no end to what I do. I create good things all the time. And tragedy is not the end of your story.
That's right.
It is not the end. It is a way for me to receive glory so that your story can continue. And we've watched that in Courtney's life from up close, right, standing right with her while God did that for her. And it's just an incredible thing to watch, Courtney. It's amazing to see what God continues to do in and over your life.
Yeah, I'm so thankful, and I'm so blown away by God's kindness and his faithfulness to me and to the kids and now to my precious husband, John, 4 years into widowhood. We were standing at the altar saying, I do, amazing, for the rest of our lives. Amazing. And each one of these friends were standing right there, you know, agreeing with us and championing us. And you talk about, I mean, friends that have stuck, walk through the fire and walk through the flood, but have not been burned and have not been overtaken by the waters. It's these girls, and they have been so faithful to trust God. Mm-hmm. And they have walked this journey when every one of them probably should have just peaced out at some point and been like, all right, this is a lot. They didn't. They could have, but they didn't. And it's because their eyes were lifted. And each one of you decided and you made a choice that you were going to look up to God and let him lead you as you walked with me through the valley of the shadow of death. And through the valley, God has led us to a beautiful, beautiful meadow that is just filled with joy now and laughter. Mm-hmm. Yes, is there grief? Of course. But it comes and it goes, and the joy far, far outweighs the sadness now. Yeah. And we are able to dance, and we are able to walk without fainting. You know, Jesus is the only one that can heal us. Yeah. None of you girls and you friends have, that's not what heals me. Only Jesus can heal your heart and your hurt.
Yeah.
But Jesus does give us people to stand in the gaps, and he uses his people to offer up healing as well. And I just am so grateful to each one of you for standing in the gaps and standing with my kids through all of it, at the grave, at my wedding.
Yeah.
At the birth of my baby, beautiful. Asher.
Yeah.
I can remember hearing y'all giggle outside the door as I'm pushing, giving birth.
Well, we might have convinced the nurse that we needed to stand really close.
We almost and got somehow kicked out a couple of times.
We were trying to be as quiet as church mouse, but we were very close because we wanted to be as near as we could be, honestly, and to be able to celebrate. I have a picture of our faces as soon as we heard Asher cry for the very first time, and it is of sheer joy. And just to know that God is faithful to you, Courtney, that we've watched God be faithful to you. Yes. And we celebrate your life and love your friendship and love your person, but we love God in you, and we love seeing what he's done in your life and he's going to keep doing. And it's such a joy for us to get to stand close and to watch God work and to believe for you that he will. And I can remember seasons of weeping sitting in my car when things were the worst, believing that there was going to be a day that we were going to laugh, that we were going to jump, that we were going to sing, that we were going to believe God and celebrate. And here we are in those days. Yeah. God has faithfully come through, and he will keep doing that. And I'm so mindful of people who are in those dark places right now. I just, even as we're talking about some of these hard things that we've been through, just how people are in places where they don't yet see the beauty of what God's doing. They only see the hardship of it and how God has allowed them to walk in circumstance where their life feels broken apart. And yet I believe, and if there's anything that we can do as a group in this moment, it's to stand with those people and say, there will be a day when we will rejoice and we will see that God has been faithful to us even through the darkest and hardest of times. Yes. And I think it'd be awesome if we just pray for those people right now, and that'd be an amazing thing. Yes. If we could just speak the name of Jesus over their life and encourage them. Carrie, would you voice our prayer? That would be amazing.
Yeah, God, we do. We just enter in with those people, whoever's listening, and just in a hard, dark valley, maybe in a valley of death, maybe in a valley of sickness or broken relationships or just a hardship in life. I just pray that you would just lift their eyes, like Courtney said, up to heaven.
That's right.
You would just lift their eyes right now.
Yes.
In whatever moment they're in their car, in their home, in their office, on the run, that you would just help them to pause and to remember your faithfulness.
Yes, God.
And to remember that you do bring beauty from ashes, yeah. and that you do bring healing from yes. our woundedness, and you do reign victorious, that you're already victorious over yeah. their circumstance.
That's right. Yeah.
And I just pray that they would claim that
yes.
in the power of Jesus' yes, name right Jesus. Now,
yeah.
that they would just stand on the promise that you are faithful, yes. that you would keep them steadfast and their yes. mind steadfast on you, and that you would bring them peace.
Yes.
Isaiah 26:3 says that you will do that,
yes.
that if our minds are steadfast on you and we trust in you, that you will bring peace. And so I pray that peace over anyone who needs it and is broken today. Yeah. And I pray that peace over our own lives and the hope that you offer. And I just pray that you would just meet everyone who needs it today, right where they are. Cry out for Jesus. Ask yeah. him to meet you, and he will.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen to that. Yeah. Thank you, girls. What a beautiful thing just to be together. It's yeah. such a treat just to sit in the same space together, but then to share around what God has done. So thank you. Yeah. Love you,
thank
girls.
You. Love you. Love y'all.
We truly pray this episode has brought you deep hope and encouragement today, along with the assurance that you are not alone even in your darkest hour, and that you can be a source of life to those around you who are struggling. We hope you'll share this episode and all the others from this season with your people. And we hope you're even more inspired now to submit your Grove Friendcast episodes with us. Remember to visit passioncitychurch.com/thegrove to submit them and to find out more about The Grove as this new season approaches in the fall. It's been a huge privilege to bring you The Grove podcast this year, and we're very excited about all that's to come. So we'll see you in September for more of The Grove podcast.